when I go into restaurants and see entire families all on their phones and not talking to each other. They say that people are more connected than ever and lonelier and more depressed than ever.
Welcome to Connections with Rich and Bobby. Hi, I'm Rich, Rich Homeris.
And I'm Bobby, Bobby Hamlin. We're continuing our visit with Kim Rogers, a graduate of Fuller Theological Seminary and a teacher of a large woman's Bible study. We've been getting to know her, her passions, and how the Lord called her into ministry.
And one ministry that she started that we had touched upon in our last program is called Walk Worthy. It's an accountability group examining our walk with the Lord and how we as Christians actually have boundaries, not like the world that can basically do whatever they want. And sometimes those worldly influences even enter into our houses of worship.
That's so opposite of what we hear about being seeker-friendly, which means, of course, that you want to draw people in, and pretty much they do it by looking more like the world instead of not like the world. So have you come across that, and do you have anything to say about that?
Yes, I have, and it's very frustrating for me. I love that it's getting a lot of people in, but is it getting hearts changed? Yeah. Is there transformation in these lives? Or are they going to church every Sunday because it's something cool to do and they love the music and they love being around their friends, but there's no heart change? Because that's what we need, is heart change, yes. You know, to look like Jesus and then go out and serve and love like Jesus.
You know, I heard another speaker say once, he was the preacher of the church, and that he had a rock star who was coming, and this rock star told him, you know, I can go somewhere else. I can go to a concert somewhere and see a better light show and hear greater music than when I come here. But I don't come here for that. I know where to go for that. I come here to learn truth. And that said so much that he wasn't looking for the world and the church. He was looking for truth.
Right. And that's it. Just that word truth, I think, has become almost like a bad word. And I think that's a problem, because I love going to a church that I'm hearing truth, that I'm being challenged. That's what I want. I don't want to come and just hear kind of a fluffy story. I want to hear truth out of God's word that's going to change me and make me want to change even more. I've been a Christian my whole life, but Paul says, you've done all these great things, but excel still more. And I feel like that's the church's calling. Like, I'm going to keep giving you truth, so no matter where you're at, you can continue to grow in faith and grow in love and grow in grace and grow in who God's created you to be.
You know, we're told that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so truth is optimum. It's so important. But yet, I remember going into a coffee house and I saw a table of 10 over here, people sitting there, and a table of 5 behind them and a table of 2 over here. No one was talking to one another. They were all into their devices. And so when you look at the younger generation, millennials or the X generation or younger people, they're into their devices. How do we reach them with God's word?
My husband used to call me a Luddite because technology, like, it's great, but I also hate it. I have a love-hate with it. When I go into restaurants and see entire families all on their phones and not talking to each other, they say that people are more connected than ever and lonelier and more depressed than ever. And so I think the hard thing is, the challenge is going to be, young people are on their phones and on social media, which has now been connected to all this depression and anxiety. So they're taking that in. And so I do think that teachers and influencers of God, you know, they're called social media influencers, those people with like 85,000 followers and it's just pictures of their house. But God influencers, they will be seen on these devices, on Instagram and on Facebook and things like that. However, I do think there needs to be a call back to when you're coming to church that you're not using your phone, that you're actually bringing a Bible. Because these kids, they aren't opening their Bibles to see where things are. They, even adults, you open up your device to look at a scripture during the sermon, but then you get a Facebook notification or you get an email notification, and next thing you know, you've left the sermon and you're here. So reaching that generation with the truth, it's going to be a real challenge. But I don't think the answer is making the church look like the world so that they come. Because Jesus was able to reach sinners of every age just by being Jesus, because they felt his love and he spoke truth. Yeah. So I think if we can really put out love and truth, that they can be reached. But it's a challenge. It's not that easy.
Even for believers, they can go into a coffee house and be reading scripture, but on their device. And nobody in that coffee house knows that they're into God's word. If you come in with a Bible, they know.
You know what? That's very true. And when I worked for the CEO, I would just bring my Bible out on my desk at lunchtime. And when I was going to Fuller, I was working for an environmental company part-time, and I'd bring my Bible out. I led two people to the Lord in that office because I would have my Bible out, and they knew that I was a Christian because it was a part of my life. If they said, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, I went to church and they talked about this. Or it was just something I talked about. Like you might talk about a soccer game or something. So they always knew I was a believer. They always knew my faith. So when things were hard, I was the one they came to. Or I could go to them and say, hey, can I pray for you? Or whatever. So yes, I love when I go to Starbucks now and study for something I'm preparing for. I love having my Bible open. I love having everybody know, hey, I love Jesus right here. This is me. And do you see me? This is my Bible. Come talk to me. I was at Panera yesterday and there were these two ladies and I was looking for a plug for my computer. And I don't know these women. And one of them said, what are you looking for? I said, just a plug for my computer. And she goes, oh, what do you do? And I go, oh, I'm preparing some messages. I'm going to be speaking at some different things. I'm a Christian. They said, come sit down here. We talked for 30 minutes, had church. They laid hands on me and prayed for me in Panera. It was like amazing because I wasn't afraid to say, oh, I'm working on something. I'm a Christian. This is what I do. And so I do love the idea of somebody having their Bible open. If I go into a coffee shop and someone has a Bible open reading, it's like you've just seen a sibling or you've just seen a family member. You've seen someone that's on your squad and your crew, and there's this really cool connection that you have with them because you know that they love the same God you do.
Yes, a beautiful reminder of the oneness we have in Christ, as expressed in Psalm 133, verse 1. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity.
Oh, yes. Amen. And we'll return to our talk with Kim Rogers in just a moment. You're listening to Connections with Rich and Bobby. If you're enjoying what you hear, check us out on Facebook. We post pictures of our guests, as well as all of our programs to listen to again, or catch one you've missed, or to recommend it to a friend. That's Connections with Rich and Bobby on Facebook. Now let's return to our visit with Kim Rogers.
Now you have another ministry. It's called Bagels and Bible.
So here's how that started. Years ago, 2015, I think, I was helping a friend move into her house. Her name is Heather Muncy. And I was helping her with her pantry. And I just love to teach. I love to teach the Bible. And I didn't have an avenue to do it at that time. I had done a couple series that were a few weeks long. And God had kind of put it on my heart to really start ministering to women, to have a season where I'm just pouring into women. And so she said, you know what? Why don't we just invite a few women over and they can sit around the table. I'll make breakfast. We'll call it like breakfast in Bibles or something. And you can just teach. And I was like, that's a fantastic idea. Let's do that. So then a couple days later, she comes up to me and she says, so I was praying about it. And God said, my kitchen table isn't going to be big enough. Let's just do it in the family room. We'll just have it in the family room. Maybe we won't do breakfast. Maybe we'll do bagels. And we're like, okay, we'll do bagels and Bibles. So then a week later, she's like, okay, Kim, God told me that my house is not going to be big enough. So she actually booked the chapel at Cornerstone for Bagels and Bibles. And when she did, someone asked her, why are you booking the chapel for this ministry that no one's ever heard of? How many people are registered? And she said, 11. And the first Bagels and Bibles had, I believe, 65 women show up. We've now moved into a bigger room. We meet the third Saturday of every month. Women bring their own favorite coffee mug from home because it makes it feel like a big coffee shop. If you don't remember it, we have coffee cups there, and they're amazing. They're there because they want to get into the Word. They're there because they love the Bible. And so people find that they can bring friends there. It's a great landing spot for someone who is looking for community, who's looking for fellowship, who's looking to be able to learn more about God's Word. And then there's discussion. I'll teach. Sometimes I talk about the Greek and the Hebrew. I talk about why this was said and then how it might apply to us. And then after, the women will just talk about different discussion questions. There's a leader at each table, and they talk, and they can pray for each other. And so it's just a really safe, wonderful, warm place for women to come. And I love it. I love the women. I have such a fantastic team, and it's been just an incredible experience.
It's so wonderful. And I wonder if you hear a lot that when there's a place of worship, such as a church, and it turns out to be more of a social thing. I mean, not that there isn't a place for that and a time for that, but a lot of times even Bible studies can turn into more of a social gathering. Do you ever find that happening, or how do you prevent that from happening?
You know, it's women, and we love to chat and catch up. So the beginning, they have almost a half hour when they come where they're getting their food and they're sitting and they are just talking. They're just gathering, they're around their tables and all of that. So that, I'm all for it. Afterwards, with the discussion questions, the reason why I have a table hostess at each table is so they can kind of help navigate through the questions. And so if it starts going from you're discussing an issue that we talked about in the message to someone's son's haircut yesterday that he had after soccer practice, that hostess will say, that's great, you know, or that's funny or whatever. So let's get back to question number three. And so it helps them to stay on task and to talk. Because women, we just naturally, our minds are like spaghetti and everything's connected. And we can go from Moses in the Red Sea to
can I
a
quote
PTA
you on that?
Meeting. There's actually a book called Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti.
Really?
Because you can't touch one topic with a woman without it affecting every other topic, just like pasta. And I'm a woman, that doesn't offend me. Someone to say, hey, let's get back to the questions. And then usually it goes from 9:30 to 11, and at noon there will still be tables there. And then I will see arms go around shoulders and prayer happening, or maybe some crying or laughter. And they're just there for each other. And so it's a really beautiful blend of applying what was heard, but also kind of coming alongside each other as sisterhood, all ages, and supporting each other.
We've been visiting with Kim Rogers as she's been sharing about her woman's Bible study called Bagels and Bibles.
Yes, please.
If you'd like to find out more about Kim and her work and service for the Lord, just go to walkworthy.today. That's walkworthy, one word, .today.
Now, if you've enjoyed this program, we'd love to connect with you. As we mentioned earlier, join us on Facebook at Connections with Rich and Bobby. Also, if you'd like to share your comments, you may email us at connect2richandbobby. That's connect, the number two, Rich and Bobby with an I, at gmail.com.
Or write to us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, that's P.O. Box 1610, Alameda, California, 94501.
Now, on our next program, Kim talks about her involvement with an extremely compelling ministry called A21, which stands for Abolishing Modern-Day Slavery in the 21st Century. So be sure to join us then.
This is Connections, connecting with one another, as Romans 1 verse 12 says, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So thank you for listening. And remember, tell others and spread the word.
And don't forget to join us next time on Connections with Rich and Bobby.